We're going to chat with Patrick Crean. He's a big-time editor at HarperCollins.ca. Patrick, when I say big-time editor, as a Canadian, you should feel very awkward about that.
I do. Very un-Canadian, Drew.
Yeah, I know. Sorry. So he's okay. He's okay. Patrick is joining us to talk about a little book called Washington Black. And the first question I have is, I've heard her name pronounced numerous ways, and I don't know which way is the right way. Can you get it the right way, Patrick?
It's a soft G. So Edugen, it's Essie Edugen. And her parents are from West Africa, so it's actually a Ghanaian name. So okay. It's Edugen.
Man, this is a very interesting woman. And this book has actually caused her a bit of angst herself. So this is a dazzling original novel of slavery and freedom, of course, from the author of the international bestseller Half-Blood Blues. Okay, let's talk about a couple of different things here. First of all, Scotia Giller Prize, she's been shortlisted for that? She's got to be just silly about that.
Well, it's amazing. I mean, it is the premier fiction prize in Canada.
Sure.
And she was she's a finalist for the Writers' Trust Prize and, of course, the Booker Prize. The Man Booker out of England, which is open to American, Canadian, and English and Australian writers. So she's pretty happy. We are all very happy, as you imagine.
Yeah. So Washington Black. Okay, you and I are sitting beside each other on a plane. It's about to land. We'll never see each other again. And you want me to read this book. What do you say?
You want the elevator pitch, right?
You do it. Do it.
Well, this is an extraordinary story that if you start on page one, you will be engaged, you will be gripped by this, and you won't be able to put it down. The adventures of Washington Black, who we meet. He's an 11-year-old slave on a plantation in Barbados in 1830. What's so interesting about this book, Drew, is that Essie really breaks the mold of sort of traditional slave narratives. Like you would think, oh my goodness, here's a slave narrative. It's going to be full of cruelty and horror and so on. And while that does have a place, it's not the main event. Washington escapes fairly early on in the novel, and it's really the adventures of Washington Black and as he tries to find his freedom in a pre-emancipation world, a very white world, but his travels take him all over the place, to America, to the Arctic, believe it or not, in the 1830s, across the Atlantic to England, he goes to Holland, and the book ends in North Africa. It is a very layered book. I would say it's a kind of magical book. It rewards with repeated readings, but it also reads like a kind of Jules Verne novel, all these extraordinary things that happen to young Washington. That's longer than an elevator pitch.
No, that's good, though.
Things just landed, and so there you go.
Everyone's left the plane. Everyone's deboarded,
right.
Except you and I. What is with you and the this sort of gravitational Geller thing that's happening, because that word seems to surround you.
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's there are many editors who've had finalists and winners of the Giller Prize, but I guess what's so extraordinary about this book is that Essie Edugen, who has just turned 40, so she's representing a younger group of Canadian writers coming along, and the fact that she's a finalist for the Man Booker, I think is so exciting for Canadian writing. There she is in international waters, that she did this with Half-Blood Blues. So I think it's pretty rare that a writer, a novelist can do this with back-to-back books. Half-Blood Blues was a finalist for the Man Booker, the Giller, the Governor General's, and the Writers' Trust in 2011. So she's almost repeated that with the prizes I've just mentioned. She's extraordinary, Drew, a lot of this is, you know, fairly mysterious as to why, but she just has this incredible talent to be able to tell stories that are original and completely engaging. I mean, her first book, her second book, Half-Blood Blues, who knew that there were black Germans, G during World War II in Nazi Germany. And that was the premise of her second novel, Half-Blood Blues. Quite original, kind of turned heads. How that happened is that French colonial troops were in occupied Germany after World War One. They had German girlfriends, and lo and behold, there were black German kids who were born to them. So she works a very original territory, and she's very readable. It's very accessible. I think so Washington Black is one of those rare books that has incredible literary quality combined with huge saleability.
Okay, we're chatting with Patrick Crean. He is an editor at HarperCollins Canada. He's so much more than that, though. So you're the guy to ask this question. What is the line between something that's accessible and readable versus trash? I don't know how to say that. Like, you know what I mean?
Well,
like, there is a fine line between something that's very accessible, very readable.
Yeah.
And then the other line on the other extreme, Patrick, is it's just too friggin' heady. It's just, you know, it's written in some Elizabethan rhythm that today we just don't get, and it's hard to process. And then the other side of the spectrum it sounds like a Jerry Springer show. So how do you strike that balance, man?
You're talking about any book. You're not just...
Book, just in general.
Well, I mean, publishing is a very mysterious business, first of all. And the second thing is, really, good editors look for voice. It's got to be something that's coming off the page that really compels you, that just says, hey, you got to listen to me enter into this world. So there's something mysterious is actually coming off that page. And I'm sure your listeners all have favorite books, and they can point to characters and voice that is simply, you know, grabbing you by the lapels and saying, read me. Mm-hmm. That's what we look for. And boy, when you come across that, it makes the hair stand up on the back of your neck.
Well, okay.
You see a lot of stuff, Drew.
Yeah. Well, just as a weird example, we'll finish with this. A friend of mine wrote a book called The Shack, William P. Young, and it became just a monstrous, you know, bestseller.
Yeah.
Wasn't that well written? And that's out of his mouth. Others have said the same thing. So what the heck?
Well, then I suppose something like that would simply have, you know, be action-packed. And, I mean, an interesting example would be Dan Brown's Da Vinci Code.
Yeah.
So I would say, and I read that more in self-defense or for professional reasons. I'll say it. I think it's a bad book, but it's a very clever book because the way they have... the way he laid it out with his editors, you can't stop reading it because the suspense is such that it just keeps you tripping along. So, you know, but I don't think it's something that will be read generations from now.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a terrible saying that today's bestsellers are tomorrow's obituary column. Okay. So I just leave you with this thought that literature is playing for the long game. Books that may be read, like To Kill a Mockingbird, et cetera, Moby Dick, be read generations from now. That's what we all hope for.
I guess I got to throw out my Hardy Boys.
Hey, they're still around.
I know. I still got them. I'm not throwing them out. Patrick Crean, he's editor and publisher as well, but he's kind of the HarperCollins, he's one of the gurus over there. I'm just going to leave it at that.
Thank you.
We're talking about Washington Black by Essie Adujan, which has just been shortlisted for the Scotiabank Giller Prize, something, of course, Patrick knows just a little bit about. Thank you, sir, for your time.
Happy Thanksgiving to you and all your listeners.
To you as well. Thank you, Patrick.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.